Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum, Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, more discussion of the minor Conan O'Brien character, Shoeverine, than you will ever hear on any other podcast ever. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Very exciting guest on today's program, Jordan.
Yeah.
Extremely exciting guest. To the max exciting guest, Jordan.
This is what they call a get in the biz. They would call this a get.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
You're too kind.
We were trying to build up so that you would use that thank you, guys, voice that you just did.
Oh, yes. It's a deep resonant tone.
That's the classy act voice. Mr. Brian Stack, welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Brian, nice a writer, I was about to say for Late Night with Conan O'Brien, but maybe you've heard of a little show, Jordan, called The Tonight Show?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well.
You're close personal friends with Jack Parr, then.
Oh, yeah, it's a franchise.
It's been a while since I've watched TV.
writer for The Tonight Show, Mr. Brian Stack. What a joy to have him here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Seen his acting work on television programs like 30 Rock, and I don't know if you've acted on any other television programs.
I did a little bit part on The Office.
Your character recurred on 30 Rock, right?
It was such a nice surprise. I thought, because the first time I was on, I was just sort of like a straight man in a scene so that Tina could embarrass herself kind of thing. And then it was just such a nice surprise to come back because I love the show.
They utilized your Midwestern good looks and everyman charm.
Well, thank you, sir. It was a nice surprise to come back because I love the show and so many of the people involved with it.
This must have been a problem for you, Brian, when you found out that Conan was going to move to the West Coast. You had to weigh the incredible opportunity of this recurring part as a guy who sort of walks into a scene from time to time on 30 Rock versus your career as a writer. It must have been difficult for you to essentially give up your performer's ambitions forever.
Yeah, I like to think I might have come back. Uh-huh. Like I came back basically once a season, but I don't know if they even would have brought Howard Jorgensen back. It wasn't like Dr. Spichemin, like a hit recurring character. Yeah. He was just a guy who would like walk in and get blamed for something and then walk out. But I loved doing it.
I have a concern that's going on. I'm worried right now a little bit about evil wizards and possibly an evil wizard doing something to me. I'm going to tell you why. Jordan, I know you look confused. I'm not a superstitious man.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm not concerned about wizards generally good or evil. This is why I'm concerned. A couple of weeks ago, in the middle of the night, I do not know this, but my wife reports to me that I reached over to the bedside table, grabbed a box of Kleenex, and then gave it to my wife in bed. Middle of the night, gave my wife a box of Kleenex. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know why the wizard would make me do that, but last night my wife reported to me that in the middle of the night I woke her up because I was laughing uproariously.
Mm.
As she said, not in the way that a person who is asleep would laugh. And then she looked over at me. I did a little robot dance. Like,
did you make the noise while you're doing the dance, or that's kind of the quality that the dance had? Is that?
It was a no. I don't think I made the noise. I think I was maybe still laughing.
Okay, just to clarify what the noise was. Those are like the robot's joints squeaking.
Yeah, that was I mean, obviously the people in the audience who are listening right now can't see me doing the moves.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So that symbolizes. It's like a karate chop.
They are very good moves.
They are.
It's a robot-style karate chop is how I would call the move that I was doing. I have no memory of this at all, and the only explanation that I can think of is evil wizards. I mean, I'm open to other possibilities.
That would be my guess.
Right, exactly. See, Brian is a professional television writer. He knows about wizards.
Oh, yeah, but I'm very familiar with the mythology.
Sure. Back.
here's my just thoughts. I feel like unless I hear evidence for Wizard, I'm not prepared to rule out Hypnosis Vampire or King Witch.
Okay.
So
that's a good point.
I just want to hear a good argument for you, because that's a very specific kind of, you know, magical being. I don't know.
Right.
And there's a lot of things that can, you know.
Do you think there's some kind of connection between these two activities that I've undertaken apparently while under this spell? That's another issue that I've been struggling with. Like, we know, for example, from his hit one-man show Sleepwalk With Me, that Mike Birbiglia had to fight some kind of hyena flying jackal in his sleep. And that seems like something that... That's you wouldn't immediately say flying wizard to that or evil wizard to that, because you know somebody is just having a nightmare.
Yeah.
What nightmare could prompt me to undertake those two activities? Hand my wife the box of Kleenex and do a robot dance while laughing uproariously.
Hmm. Well, one is thoughtful.
Right.
Well, that's I feel like those are there too. One is thoughtful.
Sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
And one is just plain masturbatory.
Uh-huh.
Like, you may as well have been masturbating if you're going to laugh at your own dance.
Maybe, but what about this? Maybe
totally selfish.
Maybe under the spell, and again, I don't remember any of this. This has just been reported to me secondhand, and I have no reason to mistrust my wife, who's a very trustworthy person. I mean, you met her, Brian.
Yes,
she seems trustworthy, right?
Woman.
Yes, she's a straight shooter.
She might be trying to steal your money with these lies.
Do you think it's possible that I was... In my mind, under this wizard spell, that I had seen someone who moved in a robot-like manner, and I was laughing at them and then doing a mean impression of them?
Hmm.
Or, possibly, what if I was seeing a real robot, like maybe an assembly line robot or something like that, and that robot, and I was making fun of it because it didn't have the fluidity of movement that a human does?
I think we just have... We need more information from Teresa. Like, did you have a boner?
Okay. Sure.
We should That's going to enter into it.
Check in with Teresa. Well, I mean, I'm going to guess I probably did have a boner. I mean, I'm making a leap of faith, but it's a modest leap of faith. I don't think I'm really like, this is a safe bet. I'd put it 85-15
sure.
that I had a boner at the time.
Well, yeah, then I think you were just laughing at how funny you were.
Is that how you get a boner, Jordan?
Yeah, right?
Brian, you're a professional comedy writer. When you get a boner, it's mostly because you made a great joke, right?
Oh, yeah, that's usually the source of my arousal.
Yeah.
By the way, Mike Birbiglia, who you mentioned, former intern at Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Wow.
Yeah, many years... My first year there, actually, like 97.
I didn't know
Sorry
that. Mike Birbiglia and Dimitri Martin, also a Late Night with Conan O'Brien former intern, right?
I know Dimitri was an intern at The Daily Show. He was a writer at our show, but he was...
I thought he was an intern on both. That was my memory.
He might have been. Before I was there, Andy Blitz was an intern before I was there, like the first season of the show. Actually, we had a few people at the office, too. John Krasinski was an intern, Mindy Kaling, Angela Kinsey.
Wow.
Ellie Kemper, who's the new receptionist, they were all...
That's impressive.
So it's a good program.
You know what
Not
I
that the internship had anything to do with their success, but...
I was
but
an
was
intern
nice
on,
to
the,
have to ignore.
On the yeah. Sarah and No Name show on KISS FM in San Francisco.
I was an intern at a cable access company in suburban Chicago, which was...
I like you shaking.
Yeah, what do you do? What is the intern for the cable access? Like conspiracy theory guy need a specific kind of latte every day?
We were supposed to do like features on local businesses, and it was although I did do an interview with the improv guru Del Close, so that was the one thing that made the whole experience worthwhile when I took my first improv class. But most of it was like I did a profile on a fish tank cleaning company. So it was just
you didn't really do a profile on a fish tank cleaning company.
I wish I could say I was kidding. But
what was
no,
your angle?
I think
how
it was
clean
literally
they get
just,
the fish tanks?
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was just like they would say, "Well, these people will do it." It was usually like who would do it, and like. But Del, I happened to be in a beginner's improv class, and so I got to do an interview with him, and that was got to study with him a little later on. But he was he's obviously an incredibly important guy in that field, just a brilliant guy, and so I was real lucky to have that and to have. Have it on tape is great.
Jordan, weren't you interning for a while in like the office of the guy who thought of all of those all of those nightmare reality shows from like 2001 on Fox.
Yeah.
Like Who Wants to Shoot a Midget or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I had an internship between my kind of junior and senior year of college at the Fox Development Office, which was a really, really good experience. And I attribute the fact that I got low-level showbiz jobs out of college to the internship. But like right after I got out, you know, I called them and I said, "Hey, I'm out of college, you know, ready to work. What do you got?" And they say, "Well, we don't really have anything full time yet, but we kind of have this. One of our executives has kind of a think tank of young show business people, and he deals with reality shows. And you can come in and, you can come in and just pitch reality show ideas. And you have an open forum. And if they like one, they'll work with you on one. And you know." Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, seemed like a good idea. You know, I have, you know, zero interest in the competition-based reality show, but it seemed like a good way to kind of keep my face in the office and stuff like that. And, yeah.
Jordan likes more narrative reality shows, the kind, you know, like a Real Housewives or something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. MC Hammer is sad. I'm real excited about that. Anyways, and
they gave that one a surprisingly descriptive name.
Yeah,
MC Hammer is sad.
That's the name of his new show.
Yeah, well, probably. And Jordan says it is.
That's what I think.
I'm
always ready to believe.
Yeah. And the poster is him. It was just him in a Transformers sleeping bag eating a Hostess cupcake. And this was, this was right on the lip of reality shows being super sleazy. I think that the one
More question about rappers with reality shows.
You may.
Do you think that after you know, Master P on his like Cribs, one of his things besides having gold ceilings was that little Romeo had his own Bentley, but it was before little Romeo could drive, so it was like a golf cart Bentley, but it was like a go-kart Bentley. You know what I mean? Like a little tiny that he could ride around in.
Really?
Do you think that after like the No Limit Empire crumbled, that Master P just had to sell his real Bentley and drive around in Little Romeo's go-kart Bentley?
Hey, I don't know. Is it street legal?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff that, you know, Master P, Percy Miller, he's comfortable doing some stuff that's not street legal. That's how he built his empire, if you know what I mean.
I didn't know it collapsed.
Yeah,
that's how informed I am about the hip-hop world.
Well, no, it's just because...
I have to make a lot of assumptions in that regard, too.
It's just because, Brian, I understand completely. You're such a big C. Murder fan that your fandom has blinded you to the collapse of the No Limit Empire.
I did know that C. Murder was charged with murder, which I always
love. That is true. He was. He got caught on video murdering someone.
It's like MC larceny. Or just like, it'd be nice if everybody could just stick to their name and just
sure.
Just commit crimes that are consistent with their moniker.
Anyway, sorry, Jordan. So you were working on
this. No, that's
okay.
And it was, this was really on the lip of like when, you know, when the reality show was at its most distasteful. And I guess maybe, you know, because of cable, it's kind of swung back around again with it. But this was like before the, Sluts Make Out with a Minor Celebrity, the shows came on. This was like when Monica Lewinsky was hosting reality shows.
What reality show did Monica Lewinsky host?
Gosh, something with plastic surgery and
really?
Secret masks.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah. It definitely, yeah.
Something with plastic surgery and secret masks.
To the best of my knowledge.
As soon as you said secret masks, I just imagined Monica Lewinsky in like a restoration period reality show, like maybe like a Jane Austen themed reality show where it's like a comedy of manners.
Or Eyes Wide Shut.
People are you know, kissing each other, but they're below or above each other's station.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And a woman is masquerading as a man.
Yeah, exactly.
In order to publish a book of prose.
So yes, Jordan, so it was the low point of the comedy. I mean the reality
show.
Yeah,
yeah. This was really when it was bad. And here is, and I didn't do this for too long. I actually got my first PA job a couple of months into this and was able to quit. Thank goodness. But while I was there, the main thing being considered, like, here was the one that's like, we're pushing this through, like, this is gonna be it.
This was priority one.
Yeah, this was the one that everybody was really excited about, and kind of the idea that, you know, all other ideas were compared to was childless couples compete for a supermodel's eggs.
Oh my God.
Honest to God.
I could see that pitch being a home run.
Yeah.
Like, you walk in and just pitch that to executives. Oh, man.
And they just start pounding on their desk like apes as soon as they hear that.
Didn't you have I remember you having a pitch for a dating, like a walkie-talkie dating show.
Yeah, mine, the one that I did that people were just kind of generally not interested in my ideas, but the one that kind of people kind of liked a little bit was a dating show where the woman never, or the man never saw the woman, but she communicated with him via two-way radio. Like, they only talked over walkie-talkies during the dates, and the other walkie-talkie was tied around the neck of a shirtless fat guy. And that's how they went on the dates. And that they were kind of interested in that, mainly because I took some pictures of shirtless fat guys with walkie-talkies around their necks that they thought were kind of funny.
Have been exciting to live in this world where you have really and truly have carte blanche to suggest anything. I mean, anything. Like now, 2009, a lot of ideas have been done. Some ideas they've actually found the boundaries of taste to some extent. But this was a Wild West. You could suggest anything.
For sure, totally. And kind of the last meeting I went to in that thing, you really could tell that Rome was burning, in that they kind of had this thing like, well, you know, America is kind of on to the sleazy reality show, and, you know, they want to start doing more uplifting things. Like, there's these makeover shows where, you know, the poor family gets the new house.
Extreme Home Makeover.
Yeah, and, like, right. You know, Biggest Loser, where everybody is inspired by the losing of the weight. And it seems like that at least network TV now has these kind of positive reality shows where you get to root for somebody, and the, you know, sleazy makeoutery is kind of resigned to cable TV. Anyways.
What's nice about it is that they add that uplifting element to something that is nonetheless sort of terrifyingly exploitative. Like, sure. they just make sure that people, they're really providing people with cover.
Right.
Like, they're not actually making an uplifting program.
You just stick a Coldplay song in there at the end.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
That'll take care of it.
it's the Band-Aid.
Showbiz, huh, gang?
Yep.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse Go. It's me and Jordan, and we got Brian Stack here from a little show called The Tonight Show. We'll be back in just a sec. It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
With us,
Brian Stack.
Yeah, you can't make up a nickname if you want to.
I should give that some thought.
Yeah, when I say can, I mean you really should.
Yeah, if you don't, it'll like
it's gonna reflect
poorly. We're not gonna
poorly.
Kick you out, but we're gonna like talk shit about you, later.
Captain Mystery.
We're gonna spit in your food.
No, well, yeah,
Captain Mystery.
Yeah, I think just say it with a little more confidence, and
yeah,
you got
can
it.
You can we do? Well, we try again.
Yeah, do over.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And I'm Brian Stack, aka Captain Mystery.
Yep. I like it. I like the voice, too. Mm-hmm. What people couldn't see at home is that Brian has really striking eyebrows, and he was really he really brought one all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
Just one all the way up, yeah, just to signal mystery.
The old, Belushi eyebrow raise. Mm-hmm. It's the one thing I learned from him. I never met him, but
during my years with Belushi.
Yeah, like, I wish I met him.
I learned two things, how to cut up a line.
Yeah.
And how to strike an eyebrow pose.
And to be Albanian.
So three things. Yes, the exactly. Three things.
How to be Albanian.
It's awesome. I'm so excited to have you here, Brian. I'm so excited to have you here in the great city of Los Angeles, which is how long did you live in New York before you lived in Los? You're a Chicago comedy guy.
Yeah, I grew up in Chicago. I lived in New York for 12 years, 97 until 2 months ago.
Did you ever imagine yourself living in Los Angeles when you were living in New York?
You know, I always knew it was a possibility down the line someplace because
that's how show business works.
Right, yeah, and like so almost everyone I work with in Chicago lives here now. It really is like Chicago West, and so many of our friends had made the move that I knew it was a real possibility at some point, and it always seemed very alien, but I like it here a lot more than I thought I would. And
let me ask you this question. Did you know when, because it was such a long period of time that we knew that Conan O'Brien was going to move to the Tonight Show, like it was like 2 years or something like that, right? And did you know during that time that when Conan moved to Los Angeles that you would also move to Los Angeles? Like, at what point did you know you had a job in the future?
You know, it was funny because we all were kind of operating under this assumption that, you know, hey, we've been getting along for about over 10 years now, and hopefully this will continue. But yeah. I think I was always afraid to count on it, like, until, like, Jeff Ross, you know, the producer said, oh, by the way, you're going, you know. And it was just, but I didn't
You know? Picked up a trade in between.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sheet metal work. And yeah. That was good. But, I always remember Roger Daltrey saying that's what he did before The Who. So it's stuck in my brain. Sheet metal worker. Yeah. I feel very, you know, lucky to have been able to make the move. And one of the nice surprises too is most of our staff, our office staff came too. And I was afraid that maybe they wouldn't be able to, that they would just take the writers or, you know, just the producers. And so it was great because, you know, on a day-to-day basis, we interact with so many great people there, you know, from the photo researchers to the general office staff and the script supervisors. And I think if those people hadn't made the move, it would have been a real drag, you know. So I was so glad that most of them did.
Okay, so the big question when this move was happening was, what is it, how is it going to be different? And I wonder how was that conflict or change reflected in the writer's room? Like, when, like, how did you guys decide what was different about the show as the Tonight Show and not as the kind of weird late night show that always talked about what a failure it was?
Right. Well, you know, as we've kind of been discovering it as we go, like, and I've been pleasantly surprised that the feel of the writer's room and the way we are approaching things feels very similar to at least to how it did in the last year and a half to 2 years at late night, which I felt like there was a bit of a transition towards the end at late night away from a lot of the more stuff that involved a lot of casting and sketches. And I miss that, you know, to a large extent, but I also, I understand that, especially when we were starting the Tonight Show, that you have to kind of establish Conan in remotes and stuff, and he's often at his funniest doing that stuff. So I completely understand why that happened. But I do say I miss a lot of the we used to have like actors line down the hall for staring contests, or you know, there'd be a Civil War guy, and then there'd be Jesus, and then a knight in shining armor. I kind of miss a lot of that stuff, but we still do some of it, and I it's still a great place to work, and I've been pleasantly surprised to see some pretty silly stuff getting back into the show.
If you write something, do you cast it?
Yeah, the one thing that Conan and Robert Smigel brought over from their days at SNL was that, and something that I think Lorne Michaels set up many years ago, is that if you're the writer at SNL or at Conan, you're kind of in charge of the piece in terms of casting, ordering things from wardrobe, calling graphics, telling them what you have in mind. And those departments always have great ideas of their own, you know, to to supplement what you're asking for, and they oftentimes go above and beyond what you ask for. But yeah, you're kind of in charge of the piece, so it lives or dies.
So you kind of have
your head, yeah.
Do you have like your go-to werewolf?
Oh, like for
yeah,
oh,
like
for,
if
oh,
you
for
need
casting?
Like
yeah.
Oh yeah, that was one of the nice things, especially when I first got to New York, like with people like the UCB people who were there, like Amy and Matt Besser yeah. and Ian Roberts. They were almost like a repertory company where you call people in, or Jack McBrary, and a lot of these people that you kind of knew you could just count on and bring in for a wide variety of parts. But there were certain people that you'd call in for one specific thing, like we need the guy who played the Hulk for us. we only knew one hugely muscular guy or whatever. Or, you know, you'd call in one guy who always would play your cop or whatever.
Did the same guy play Shuverine every single time? Shuverine being Wolverine, but with loafers on his hands.
I'm proud to say that is Andrew Weinberg, one of our writers.
Oh, and, okay.
I tossed in the idea of Shuverine almost as an intentionally bad idea, and it was almost cut the first time we did it because it was so ridiculously stupid. It was almost
barely
too stupid for us.
It's barely a joke at all.
Yeah, it is, exactly. And I was almost like reluctant to even propose it, but Andrew kills me, you know, especially when they curl his hair up.
Yeah.
He's got a good thick head of hair, and they just curl it up on the sides.
I think about Shuverine basically once a day.
Oh, God bless you.
And just enjoy myself if I'm having a tough day.
Yeah, those are a lot of times my favorite things we ever did on the show were things that we were almost reluctant to pitch, or like Brian McCann doing the FedEx Pope, which was literally something that you could never think of sitting at your computer. He was just sitting in the office, and he put a FedEx box on his head. And you started blessing us.
I love putting FedEx boxes on my head.
Oh, yeah. And that actually grew out of VHS Corporal, which was he would put a VHS box on his head, and it looked like a corporal's cap. So those are my favorite things, just things that are too ridiculous to think of at your computer. You know?
I have two questions. Yeah. One is, I haven't watched too much of the new show. Are you getting to appear on stage? Because I know you had a few popular characters in the late night version, but are you getting to itch that performance?
We're not the ones who gave you the popular characters. You wrote them, and probably Conan O'Brien or whatever decided that they were good enough. So there's no need to thank us.
Oh, well, thanks anyway.
Okay,
but,
sure.
Some of the characters I did were characters that I kind of co-created with other people, or someone else might, like the traveling salesman. Andrew Weinberg originally said, "How about we have Stack play a salesman that sells terrible jokes?" And when I worked on it with Andrew and Michael Komen, it evolved into him selling all kinds of things you'd never want, you know. And like, but no, I've done a couple things on camera, but I haven't done any of the older current characters. I'm hoping we can maybe bring some back. Like, I know Conan is definitely interested in, you know, having the Interrupter come back possibly, and some of the other ones I'm not so sure if they'll fit in, like the Ghost Crooner and things like that.
Ghost Crooner is pretty weird.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll fit in.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's not weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and also he was supposedly a ghost who haunted 30 Rock, so
we have to figure out why
he was haunting this new studio.
Why he's haunting Universal Studios. Yeah, maybe he died on the tram or something.
Yeah, exactly.
He got eaten by Jaws, probably.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Well, I did have him get murdered in various different ways. Like, he always had been murdered for his opinions, but the method of that murder would change. Beheaded by the League of Women Voters or whatever. but I've done a couple things, but I know I'm hoping that we'll be able to do some more character stuff. I played a guy who was the head of the North Dakota budget surplus last week. Jose Arroyo, one of our writers, found out that North Dakota is one of the few states that has a budget surplus, and we did a bit on that they're actually luring visitors there and murdering them and taking their money. He's like, "Why don't you come visit? Why don't you come check out the budget surplus? Bring your money." And
is that a North Dakota voice?
It's
like vaguely American Indian.
I know. I think it was a mix of Fargo and ignorance. It's just it's completely unfair. Like, we should do research, and like someone wrote in, was just like, that bears no resemblance to my experience as a North Dakota person. That's how they really
that
talk.
That is how they talk. I've been to North Dakota. They speak with an English accent.
And the letter was very shaky because it was written on the back of a polo horse.
Exactly. So that's how they
a little
live.
Jittery.
That's the Fargo lifestyle.
My other question is the food better? Is the green room snacks and the lunches is that better now that you're
that's a good question. I think it's pretty much the same, I think. Uh-huh. But I gotta say, sometimes we'll get dinner ordered in, and there are a lot of great restaurants around here. Like, I think New York always gets credit for that more than any other city. But it's they've been ordering some great stuff.
You probably get to hang out with Andy Richter more, so that's probably pretty cool.
It's really great having Andy back, in addition to just having him there as the announcer. But I do miss Joel a lot, though. I love Joel. And I wish, he'd been able to make the move with us. But on the other hand, it's great having Andy back. In addition to being the announcer and doing a great job, he's always got so many great ideas for,
Is it wrong? This is an open question to both of you. Is it wrong that I like Andy Richter even better than Conan O'Brien? I mean, I'm a Conan O'Brien fan. I don't want anybody to think that I'm not a Conan O'Brien fan, because he's a genius of funniness. I admire him tremendously. I don't think there's anyone who's funnier in the casual conversation of an interview. I think it's truly spectacular and amazing. But man, I just really love Andy Richter. I'm pretty sure I definitely like him better than Conan O'Brien.
He's a terrific writer, too, in addition to his performing. Like, I think he was hired as a writer originally at Late Night, and he was a Chicago improv guy, and he was always really hilarious and really smart. And so it's great having him back just for tossing ideas around,
I like how he stands behind that podium. I watch a few episodes of the show so far on your Hulu.com.
Oh, yeah.
I got to admit, I'm not one of these young people that stays up until 11 o'clock at night to watch this on live television.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore either. My kids get me up around 6, and yeah. I don't know how anybody other than college students and prisoners can.
Well, Larry Sanders does it every night.
Oh yeah,
watches his own show.
So there's Larry
awesome
Sanders.
Show.
He stands standing behind a podium. It reminds me, actually, speaking of Larry, because I've been rewatching Larry Sanders lately. I now find that my intense love of Larry Sanders' sidekick and announcer, Hey Now, Hank Kingsley, as portrayed by Jeffrey Tambor, has gotten mixed up with my love of Andy Richter, because I was just from a couple times seeing Andy Richter announcing things from behind a podium, just like how Hank announces things from behind the microphone. Mm-hmm. Now I'm all confused. I'm all hibbledy-jibbledy. Yeah. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I think they're basically the same man.
Well, you'll be even more confused because Jeffrey Tambor just shot a bit for us that
no.
I don't believe has aired yet.
No.
But it was great. Yeah, he came in and did it for...
That Jeffrey Tambor is great.
Oh, he is.
I met Jeffrey Tambor. That was amazing.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. He told me, I asked him about Hey Now, Hank Kingsley, right? And I'm definitely my favorite television character ever is Hank Kingsley from The Larry Sanders Show. This sort of, I know a lot of folks out there probably haven't seen The Larry Sanders Show. Hank is a former cruise director, played by Jeffrey Tambor, who is just really just completely sycophantic on the television show and just a kind of desperate, sad man off camera. Just completely desperate, just always doing these sad television commercials and always hanging out at trying to build his own theme restaurant where it rotates, but there's no windows.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Brilliant
so
show.
This really, really pathetic character. Just could not be more pathetic, but I sincerely love this character. And I asked Jeffrey Tambor about it, just with absolute commitment. He said, I didn't think he was pathetic. Like I just put myself in that position, and I thought he made perfectly reasonable. Like he just went for it. He just all the way. That's why Hank is so great.
Yeah.
There was not even 3% condescension in Jeffrey Tambor's regard of Hey Now, Hank Kingsley.
Yeah, I think that's the only time the most brilliant characters. I think the actors playing him has no judgment on him, and just play them as human beings. And yeah, that's a great example.
And I can feel that you feel that way about Andy Richter too. As pathetic as Andy Richter is,
I don't think he's pathetic.
He's the great Andy Richter.
Oh, you're gonna say I know you feel this way about Ghost Crooner.
Oh yeah, I do. I wish I could say I didn't pass judgment on him.
No, you don't wish that. He says horrible things in every sketch. Yeah, you want to pass judgment on the Ghost Crooner.
Exactly. I think that's why I always have him get murdered.
You would be pretty amazing. You'd be Sean. It would be some Sean Penn level shit if you were able to get into the character of Ghost Crooner without any judgment at all.
Yeah, that's true.
This is
I
a character
kind of talent.
Completely predicated on saying something horrible, right. Unspeakably horrible.
Right, with a Bing Crosby kind of twinkle in his eye. Well, that's just how I feel about the minorities. Yeah, he's just inexcusable.
Do you like the Los Angeles lifestyle, Brian?
I've actually been enjoying it. Like I think, like I said, there's so many people here that we've known from Chicago that have formed kind of a community out here, and there's UCB here and IO West and all these.
And you love the beach.
Yeah, I love the beach. I can handle it when it's not super sunny. Like I don't think there's anything nicer than going out to like Santa Monica and like in the morning or something. Or it is really beautiful. And I miss New York in a lot of ways, and I love Chicago. But I actually feel like I know more people from Chicago that live here now than in Chicago. Like everybody we know and worked with is out here, it seems like.
And we talked a little bit off mic about this, but you're getting a pool. Very California.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a little tiny pool. Like, it was one way we could lure my daughters. I've got little daughters now, and they I think they're a little worried about the move. So my wife was like, if we get like a little pool, I think it'll help.
Are you gonna get a convertible?
That would be wasted on me.
No,
I think
you're probably going to need a convertible. I mean, don't you think you should get a convertible?
I can't handle the sun. I was
any Hawaiian shirts? Do you have any Hawaiian shirts?
That would another thing that will.
How about any drapey Armani casual clothing, like black silk T-shirts?
I think you've named everything that will never be on me. No judgment against them, but
what about a live scorpion?
Oh yeah,
just crawling around on your face.
Oh, that'll certainly be on him.
Yeah,
no
like
doubt
a
about
man
that.
Man who would be king. one of my favorite movies.
A scorpion. Just one of them scorpions. You know what I think you should do? Just chop the top off your current car. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what kind of car you drive.
We have a Toyota Highlander and a Toyota Corolla.
Okay, so I'd chop. I'd take the Highlander.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah,
that's a mid-size, full-size sport utility vehicle. Just chop it off. Well, you're going to want to put a rag top on there.
Yeah, well, we'll give it a shot.
Or what about one of those, what's that called, brougham top, where it's like a canvas, you know? Isn't that what that's called? Like a canvas, like on a 1986 town car, maybe?
God, you're asking the wrong
guy. Yep, don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Nope,
if you continue to describe it, it's not going to help. I guarantee a more vivid description is not what we're looking
like
for.
It's like a canvas material or like a
vinyl
with a porthole window on the side and you got You take imagine a hard top, but then you cover it.
What was that, Jesse? Gibberish?
Or
gibberish nonsense? Yeah.
I apologize, Brian.
Okay.
Jordan and I are really having a lot of problems. We're thinking about getting a divorce.
Oh, really?
An internet divorce.
Yeah, I hope that you don't have kids, do you?
Well, in some ways, I think of our shows as our babies.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Our listeners. We're going to divide them up. I'm going to go to my podcast, and whoever's loyal sure as shit better come with me and not Jesse.
Okay.
Choose sides now, audience.
If any of you fuckers goes with Jordan, say goodbye to the baseball season tickets I was going to buy for you.
Ooh.
Oh, shit, they don't like baseball.
Using this show as
we're
a
talking
football.
About podcast listeners. They hate baseball.
Yeah, if you come with my show, then I will come to your rally to legalize ferrets. Because that's what you're into.
Jordan, if you listen to Jordan's show, you'll finally have someone to play Herzog Zwei with you.
Yep.
What is Herzog Zwei, by the way?
What? I don't know why. I don't see why this has to come up so much. Herzog Zwei is a game for the Sega Genesis.
Because you're obsessed with Herzog Zwei, that's why.
It's a real-time strategy game, a good a good parallel might be a Command and Conquer or a World of Warcraft. It's a very kind of simple real-time strategy game, but kind of the really fun element is that you control a character within the army, which and usually in those games you're kind of a you're a god or a general. Yeah, controlling things with a cursor, but in this you get to actually be a character and help out during some of the fighting, which is very fun. And yeah, there's never been an update, never been a sequel. It's not downloadable as far as I know.
Well, so, my listeners...
A classic video game,
I'll
to be
show
sure.
you how to tie a bow tie, because I know how to tie a bow tie.
I need to learn how to do that.
You don't know how to tie
no,
a bow tie?
No, I'm embarrassed to say.
It seems like that would be a that would be one of the top things you would know how to do for your character acting career.
I know, like our wardrobe guy would always tie that bow tie on me for embarrassed to say. I wouldn't know how to do that.
I can't imagine being able to tie a bow tie backwards. That's him. Did he stand behind you and reach in front of you, or
he's
did he?
He's good, Bruce Brumage. He's
oh, Bruce, sure.
Bruce, you know.
Oh, one of the best.
Double
he
B.
Is.
He's one of the best.
He's a legend.
A real class act.
He would tie my ascot for that fantastic guy character, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helpless without him.
Speaking of one of the best, guess who works on The Tonight Show now? Our friend Jimmy Pardo from Never Not Funny.
Yes, good man. I just met him when he started. I had never met him before.
You get to hang out with Jimmy Pardo. Now, that's fun.
Yeah, it that's really is.
That's what I call fun. We got to hang out with Jimmy Pardo a little bit this past weekend at Max FunCon. That's a good time.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy. I never knew him before.
And class act, warming up that audience, asking people to wear a hard shoe, pant.
I don't know how anyone does that. Like, that's a job I could never do.
He's
like,
a masterful.
Brian McCann used to do it, and Mike Sweeney, our head writer, used to do it in New York, and they used to make fun of me in Chicago if I had to go out and stall and talk to the crowd. I couldn't do it. So I have the highest respect for that.
We're having fun, huh, Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
We got Brian Stack here.
Yep.
We got Jordan Morris here.
Sure.
Of course, the great Jesse Thorne is here. We'll be back.
Coco's running around somewhere. Good for her.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Very excited about this sponsor we have this month, VGKids.com.
Mm-hmm.
I like to imagine that it stands for Very Good Kids.
That's one theory.
What is there? Are there other theories? Do you have a theory?
Maybe that's somebody's initials.
VG.
Yeah.
But then who are the kids?
Hey, I don't know.
I think it's a statement about the quality of kids overall. Brian's with me. He's nodding.
Yeah, I think that would be my theory.
Right, exactly. Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much.
I'm just saying I'm open to... I don't know. I just don't want to be closed-minded about
Jordan,
this.
Jordan, I'm sick and tired of your emotional blackmail.
All right.
I'm sick and tired of this.
This is the same
Why
man...
Why do you always treat me this way,
this
Jordan?
This is the same man who just assumes it's evil wizards controlling him in the night and hasn't even looked into the fact that it might be Hypnosis Dracula.
I don't know... what a Hypnosis Dracula uses for its hypnosis, but I'm going to assume that it uses one of those red spirally things on the end of a pencil or something and twirls it.
You are getting sleepy.
You got it. You got it. Brian knows what I'm talking about, and that's what puts you to sleep. But you know what? If you're a Hypnosis Dracula, you're constantly losing those things. Mm-hmm. They're getting damaged during the course of your blood sucking and whatnot.
Right.
I think your eyes just swirl around.
But it helps you quit smoking.
Jordan.
With power of suggestion.
Hypnosis Dracula doesn't hypnotize people so he can suck their blood.
No.
He sucks their blood normally, but on the side he does work as a hypnotist.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, I will help you get over your fear of flying.
Nicotine is a monkey on your back.
Now for my fee, some blood.
Yes.
I am surprisingly... helpful. Hypnosis Dracula. Hypnosis Dracula, you know where he gets those cards printed up? VGKids.com, Jordan.
Yeah.
Because they'll print anything you can screen print from your t-shirts, of course. I mean, t-shirts are a central screen printing thing. And stickers are sort of the classics. That's the classics. But they'll screen print business cards for you. They'll screen print stationery for you. If you need stationery that's going to impress the shit out of people, I'd say try screen printing it. If you're artsy, if you're in some kind of artsy business. And not only that, there's a discount. If I'm remembering correctly, it's 10%. If all you have to do is mention Jordan Jesse Go on that VGKids.com. They're sponsoring us all month, Jordan. I'm not going to tell people that they're a fucking idiot if they don't use VG Kids for all their printing needs. But
that would be cruel.
That would be unnecessary.
But it would be accurate.
It's self-evident. Cruel, but in my opinion, too. I don't need to say it because it's self-evident. There's a discount on the table. These people do beautiful work. They'll print any goddamn thing from a business card to a Dracula hypnotizer. Okay? You know what I mean? Like, that's just the facts, Jordan. That's just the facts. VGKids.com, our sponsor this month on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Brian Stack, Captain Mystery.
God damn it, Brian! Fuck!
Sorry,
there's
I forgot my nickname.
A little something called presentation.
Brian, look, you're a successful character actor. You're an acclaimed improviser. You're a tremendous writer who has to pitch his ideas in the room. Imagine that I'm not some asshole public radio / podcast host, and Jordan isn't some asshole field correspondent for Fuel TV / public radio host / guy in an upcoming Sandra Bullock movie.
You guys hate yourselves.
Imagine that sitting before you right now are Mr. Conan O'Brien. Jordan, I'm going to let you be Conan O'Brien because
yes.
I'm going to be Andy Richter. Now, your job is
to... Can I be Shuverine?
Okay. You're Shuverine.
Yes.
It's fine. Now, you have to pitch to us this nickname and say it with all the commitment that you would say it when you were pitching that idea to Andy Richter and Shuverine.
In the real room, I would be even more awkward and stammering. I'll do it with that show of shows kind of confidence.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, here it is.
Okay.
Brian Stack, Captain Mystery. What do you think?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Stop the presses.
And Mel Brooks kind of charisma.
I'm the Russian one from your show of shows. What's that guy called? Mel something or other?
Arnold,
he's a Russian guy. And Jordan, you want to be Mel Brooks? You could be Mel Brooks.
No, Shuverine.
Have you ever watched...
That's all I want to be.
Have you ever watched that PBS special about your show of shows where they all where it's like hosted by Billy Crystal?
Yeah, only once. I don't remember much
The
about
only
it.
Thing I really remember from that, besides that I liked the Russian guy the best, was this part where they were talking about how Mel Brooks would always be late and fall asleep during meetings and stuff. and how he would always like dig himself out of a hole by like doing a routine for the rest of the writers.
Oh, I believe it.
And one was he had put all this tape on his face, like scotch tape all over his face. And Carl Reiner, who was always his straight man, had been like, "Sir, what happened to you? What's going on here?" And Mel Brooks was like, The Nazis did this horrible thing to me. and Carl Reiner goes, The Nazis mutilated you and threw you here in this ditch? And Mel Brooks goes, no, they covered my face with tape. That's all I remember from that show.
Oh, that's man. A good one.
We got telephone calls here from people, young people around the world. Listen, I'm just going to explain this to Brian. Young people around the world love to listen to our program. They get inspired by the different things we're talking about, and they're motivated to call in and share their life stories and experience. The whole thing is we're just giving people alternatives to drugs and the street culture.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Okay, let's take a telephone call. I'm going to be honest with you. I made a track listing for this CD, and then I accidentally deleted it. So I don't know what the fuck is coming.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse. This is Eric in North Carolina. I've been thinking about your drifter problem, or grifter problem, actually. And I really think the best solution is to invite him on the show. If you're worried about getting shivved, you can invite another special guest or two, like perhaps the Sklar brothers. I'd love to hear Would You Rather with a grifter. And I think having Juanita on the program as well could really get to the heart of the problem. And I think that's the best thing to do. I hope this helps.
Number one, that does not help. There's a problem going on in my life right now, which is there's this grifter, this short con man, who's both literally physically short and running a short con, who has approached both Teresa and myself in an effort to try and grift from us. Small amounts of money, $20, $40.
Repeatedly?
Both of us separately.
Wow.
And recently he moved into our apartment building.
Really?
Yeah, he's apparently was living with a couple of other dudes who live here. We don't know what's going on. We kept seeing him in the lobby. Now, this is evidence of the fact that my life outside of these walls is falling apart. Okay? Completely falling apart. And I don't think... Number one, this guy seems to think that it would be safe if the Sklar brothers were here. Now, the Sklar brothers are sports talk radio hosts, but these are not athletic men. They're fit. Then they're quite funny.
Yeah,
certainly. They're talented comics, but they're not. If he had said invite Lou Ferrigno on the show with you, if you're concerned, then maybe I would be, because Lou Ferrigno, he's a strong man.
Yes.
You know, Incredible Hulk. But this guy is trying to tell me that all I have to do is invite the Sklar brothers here and that'll solve my problem.
I think he just wants the Sklar brothers to come on the show and is willing to sacrifice your life to see that happen.
It would be a better show if the Sklar brothers were the hosts
of the
show.
That would be a really good show.
It would be a good show.
I can't wait to listen to that.
I mean, if you've heard the Sklar brothers sometimes when they're hosting like the Jim Rome show, it's better than when Jim Rome is hosting, certainly. Although that's a low standard.
I don't know that I appreciate the assumption that because this guy is grifting, he's carrying a knife. I feel like that was just a leap that was made.
Of
I feel like that's
he
a stereotype against grifters.
I didn't see any shivs in the movie The Grifters.
Yeah. This guy and I understand each other. He knows that I'm a homosexual gentleman like him. A gay gentleman, excuse me, I believe were his exact words. I know that he's carrying a knife. Okay, that's just basic shit.
Well, we know homosexuals carry knives. That's well documented.
He's not a stereotype.
When I spoke with him, he self-identified as a gay gentleman like myself.
All right.
Exact direct quote. Gay gentleman like yourself.
And what did he say to Teresa?
Gay gentleman like yourself. I think it's just his standard patter.
He doesn't look like a gentleman.
It's just patter that he's got, you know.
And he was saying it to a garbage can outside.
Yeah, exactly. You know, something terrible happened to me again this week. A new terrible thing. I'm walking down the street, walking my dog in the middle of the afternoon. Four women having a fucking knockdown, drag-out fight on the sidewalk.
Wow.
Swinging each other around by their hair and everything.
What? That's cool.
No, it was terrible.
That's great.
It was terrible.
People pay good money to see that.
This was terrible. No, trust me, Jordan. Terrible.
Real awful.
No. Yeah. It was terrible. No, it was scary. No, it was upsetting, Jordan. I was upset. Mm. I was there with my dog. Like, I went up, I'm like, come on, you know, because they're sort of like, they're in that kind of phase where they're like locked together, just slapping and hitting each other. Mm. And one girl has the other girl by her hair and that kind of thing. And so I'm like, come on, don't do this. You know, like, what the fuck? Like, it's the middle of the afternoon. You're standing on the sidewalk. Just walk away. Just
wait till
walk
the fighting
away,
hour.
You
don't do it in the middle of the afternoon. You do it at dusk.
It's two pairs of women fighting. So I don't feel like I could intervene. Like, I'm trying to, like, talk these people down, and I got my dog standing right next to me. So I'm like, I'm standing there because it's upsetting, and I have to, like, well, I'm not going to just walk past it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, you guys just let go. Just, like, just walk away, you know, just that kind of way that you try and talk to drunk people. You just say the same thing over and over, you know what I mean, and hope it works. And they're like, no, and then... This kind of cholo dude walks up to me. He's like, dude, you don't need to get involved in this. And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm not trying to get involved. I just don't want people having a fight in the middle of a weekday afternoon that aren't even drunk. They're just fighting, trying to hurt each other. And so I go into this corner store right there. There's a corner store right there. It's like a dollar store type of situation. I go in. I'm like, you know, can I use the phone? There's some people having like a really serious fight outside. I just want to call the cops. And the guy's like, what? And I'm like, there's a fight going on outside. I want to use your phone so I can call the police because there's a serious fight going on. Like, not a joke, laughing, like one punch fight, like a fight where people might really get hurt. And he wouldn't let me use his phone to do it. would not let me call the cops.
Didn't want to get involved, probably.
Didn't want to get involved. It's falling apart, Jordan.
You gotta buy something. You gotta buy something at the dollar store if you want to use the phone.
Oh, that was my mistake. I should have bought one of those little personal fans. I love those.
Or some more finger puppets.
Add to these finger puppets I've already got.
Yeah, they're very, very impressive finger puppets.
Or a VHS copy of some Yu-Gi-Oh cartoons.
Man, there are some
very popular dollar store item.
The dollar store by my house has some of the strangest video cassettes on sale. And I think maybe the only stranger thing is the DVDs. A dollar store by my house has the collector's edition of Reservoir Dogs, but it's like a box, a special box, like a metal box with shot glasses for each of the Mr. White, Mr. Pink, each of those characters from Reservoir Dogs for 99 cents. But you pick it up and you look at it and you're like, something is off about this box set. There's a beautiful packaging, beautiful shot glass, and you realize the movie in it is not Reservoir Dogs. The movie in it is a documentary about is like one of those kind of like bootleg documentaries about the history of Death Row Records. Wow. Like, who packages this? Did they have an overrun on one part of the box set? Like they accidentally made too many sets of
shot glass presentation
things. Kits and metal tin storage boxes. Mm. And they're like, oh shit, we have this hole. It's DVD sized. We got any other DVDs that seem appropriate to put in there? Like, I don't know about this fucking Death Row documentary.
I bought a Clash CD once that had Billy Joel's The Nylon Curtain in it. I was like, how did this? I guess they're both on the same record company.
Was it new? Was it like?
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
it was
my
packaged.
Goodness!
Wow.
Oh, was, my gracious.
And, that was the weirdest.
It makes me want to buy. There's all these
But some of the later Clash work was kind of stylistically similar.
Yeah,
so
very Allentown.
I kind of want to know what I would get if I bought, like, Ken Griffey Jr. Teaches You How to Play Baseball VHS cassette.
Porno.
Like, what's in there? Who knows?
Filthy porno.
Yeah, it's a good reason. It's worth a dollar, right? Just roll the dice, see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for 99 cents, the shot glass and the Death Row documentary sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I mean.
It's four shots. It's a set of shot glasses. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good, right? Yeah. Okay, next call.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Go. This is Jake from Chicago. I'm responding to the action item where you ask people to call in while they were doing an extreme sport. So I'm currently biking to work. Sorry if it's a little windy on the microphone. And it's not super extreme. It's like 7 miles from my home that I work, and I've been trying to bike to work every day this year. And but last night it did rain on my way home, so I felt pretty hardcore getting drenched, but still riding my bike. All right, thanks. Love the show. Bye.
Number one. I can't say this with absolute confidence. I'm not on jjgo.org typing in search terms, but I'm pretty sure that was never an action item.
Calling during an extreme
calling
sport.
Calling
I don't remember
an
that
extreme
either.
Sport. Even if it was an action item, it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was a real action item, I think we can all agree that it was a somewhat ill-advised action item. If I declared that to be an action, which is conceivable, it was a bad call on my part, right? Like, I'm willing to take the blame for this. If it did happen, it was probably a lousy idea because this is just a man who's just kind of out of breath.
But it made me nostalgic for riding my bike in Chicago, so
that's
a good thing.
It was made you extremely wistful.
Yes, it did. So it wasn't extreme, but it was.
That's sort of the secondary issue here. Yeah. Riding a bike is not an extreme sport. Maybe you could make an argument for mountain biking. You could make an argument for that kind of biking that you do like on a ski slope, you know, down a ski slope where you ride the lift up and then you ride down on your bike. I think there's a reasonable argument to be made for that as an extreme sport. That kind of thing where you get dumped out of a helicopter and then ride down a mountain or something, that's probably an extreme sport. Maybe if you're riding through spikes or fire or doing jumps or wheelies or vert grinds, that's probably an extreme sport. Probably if I was going to make a list of extreme sports, bicycle ones would be towards the bottom. And if I made a sublist of from extreme to less extreme, probably biking to work would be towards the bottom of that list.
Maybe he passes through like Latin King territory or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So maybe somewhere along the way there are pockets of extremity.
Possibly MS-13, the world's most dangerous gang.
Yes, yes. Just learned about them recently.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we would need to know more about the route, is I think what you're saying.
Yeah, it could get extreme in places.
You never know.
I'm going to suggest as a slight alteration to that theory, which is that we don't need to know any more about this.
We just need to call the guy a jerk and move on.
Thanks.
He's not a jerk. He's probably a nice man.
Sounds like a good man to me.
Doesn't he sound like a nice guy?
Yes.
He's biking to work. He's got a commitment to himself to bike to work. I'm not saying he's a bad person.
No.
I'm saying it's a bad call. That's what I'm saying. Right.
But thanks for the nostalgia trip.
Hey, Jordan and Jesse. This is Alex from Michigan. I just wanted to call and let you guys know, momentous occasion. I just got my heart broken for the first time. I feel pretty shitty about it, frankly. But, you know, I'm going to deal with it. And I've really narrowed it down between one and two ways. Either I'm going to wallow in self-pity or have myself a nice one-night stand. So, you know, your thoughts would be appreciated. Thanks, guys.
This guy seems to be of the opinion that one-night stand is something you can just kind of order out of the L.L. Bean catalog or something like that.
Yeah, easier said than done, my friend. Well, maybe he's got, you know, maybe it was one of those situations where, you know, there was always that gal or fella just kind of waiting for him to break up, and then, you know, he thinks he can kind of just... He can pounce.
Talking about Brian Stack?
Brian Stack. Brian Stack has been waiting.
Always been ready to pounce.
On Alex from Michigan. I think that was the guy's name.
Man, that's good. That's good stuff, too, when Brian Stack comes to town.
Yeah, comes a knocking.
Mm-hmm. When you have a fleeting encounter with me...
It changes your life.
It changes the trajectory of your life.
It
there's a level of emptiness that most one-night stands can't produce.
Right.
And,
Did you know that Einstein was a patent clerk before he slept with Brian Stack, and then he invented the theory of relativity?
I didn't even know that.
You forgot.
So many.
You had forgotten.
Physicists.
It is so
looking back over the years, clerks. So many, yeah.
If I had a nickel for every patent clerk I had a meaningless encounter with.
You'd be a rich man.
Yes, exactly.
It would be hard for you to find a bank willing to exchange all those fucking nickels.
That's true.
You'd be called Nickel Brian.
Many of them Buffalo nickels. I think that's accurate for the time period. Anyway.
If it's not accurate, then I'm out.
I'm out of here.
I want to be clear. I was on board for this whole run about you being a patent clerk fucking...
genius maker
that gets a nickel every time he does something. But if we were not talking about the correct stampings on the sides of the nickels, then I'm done with this bullshit.
Yep. Until then, it was a completely devoid of falsehood.
What were you about to say, Jordan? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was gonna maybe take a stab at some legit advice.
Okay.
Now this might.
I want to be clear here. I'm recusing myself on the basis of the fact that I've broken up with like three girls in my entire life, and it was all 10 years ago.
It was all pre-college.
Yeah, exactly. So go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, you know, this might even seem a little against character for me, but I'm gonna suggest no fucking. I'm gonna suggest the non-fuck option in this situation.
Usually, you would suggest a fuck fest.
Usually I would say usually I would say there's nothing a good fuck fest can't cure, but. you know, I feel like
that's how I beat pneumonia last year, by the way, upon your recommendation, a fuckfest.
Yeah, there you go. What do they say? Feed a fever, fuckfest a cold.
Yeah.
that's the old wives' tale.
That's what my grandma always said.
Yeah. Before she got hauled off to the mental institution.
It was a surprisingly effective expectorant.
Sure. You know, and I
it was good advice too that I had a mentholated fuck fest.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah, a lot of humidifiers in the room.
Yeah.
I think that a it sounds like the first time you ever get dumped is just so tough, and I feel like I will attest to the fact that each progressive dumping gets easier until, you know, hopefully you get to a point where you can, you know, feel a little shitty and just accept the fact that, like, you know, some relationships just don't work for whatever reason, and, you know, you'll both be happier in the long run.
Do you have a problem is your dong is too big?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's what you just say to yourself. She can't handle your massive junk. And, you know, I feel like, you know, there's this kind of, you know, ideal, very Dan Savage-y one-night stand where you can just be, you know, kind of a hip modern person and realize that sex is just kind of that can be emotional, but it can also just be a fun thing that is fun. But, you know, I feel like there's always, you know, no matter how cool and down everybody seems, there's always like a little bit of emotion in that one night stand situation. There's always just this little pocket of emotion. And I feel like now when you are feeling like, you know, turbo shit, you're, you know, that little emotional pocket probably won't do anybody any good. So I would suggest a creative project.
Oh, like what?
I don't know. Just
decoupage?
Yeah, decoupage. Learn to do scrimshaw. Just find
that's
some
so much more constructive. I wish I'd had you around when I'd go through that, because my tactic was usually get drunk and listen to Blood on the Tracks. Real constructive.
That's a creative project in a way.
Yeah.
See how fast you can get drunk.
I think a constructive project is so much more healthy.
Is that why, Jordan, is that why you were always bringing me those redwood sculptures, those redwood chainsaw sculptures of bears earlier in our lives?
Just, yeah, just, I was just getting...
When your romantic
getting,
life was
getting,
more unstable.
Getting dumped.
That was all heartbreak residue.
I get it.
Yeah, no, do some writing. That'll make you feel good.
That's great. I think that's great advice. Seriously.
Hey, Jordan, just to go. This is Magda and Rachel calling. So we had a bit of a predicament where some fellow crew members are going to make a movie, Bullfrog Montgomery. And there's two possible, scenarios of what's going to happen in it. And, the original scenario is that it's about a bullfrog who has a comb-over. But when I originally heard this synopsis, I thought he said that it was about a bullfrog who carries a comb but mysteriously has no hair. And we can't decide. I mean, like, which is better? Which is better is the question here. Oh, gotta go. Gotta go to bath, but good. Okay, bye.
I didn't understand. What are you talking about?
Okay. Jordan, it's as simple as the nose on your face. Okay.
Crew members? Well, crew on what? Are they on a submarine? That would explain that loud siren.
They're making a
crew rowing team.
They're making
it's probably that.
They're rowing as they made that call, which is extreme.
They're making a movie called Bullfrog Montgomery.
Who isn't?
And but they're not sure whether this movie is about.
They're a crew. It's they're a movie crew, but why do you not know what movie you're making?
They haven't
already
gotten the sides yet, Jordan.
I would definitely see a movie about a frog with a comb over. I would love to see that get made.
There's two possibilities. There's a frog with a comb over, and then there's a frog that carries a comb, even though he quote unquote mysteriously has no hair. Now, I want to make it clear. It is not a mystery. He does not have hair because he is a bullfrog. Bullfrogs do not have hair.
Yeah,
they're amphibians. Right. Amphibians do not have hair. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start there and say the premise of the second one is flawed because it's no mystery. The fact of the matter is bullfrogs don't have hair. So it's a mystery that he's carrying a comb, but it is not a mystery that he doesn't have any hair.
Unless he plays the comb as a musical instrument.
Oh, yeah.
In which case, he's a talented frog.
Yeah. In which case, he should probably be the mascot for the WB.
Exactly.
Probably audition for that role.
Sure.
I don't think they should make either one of these movies.
Yeah. I feel like comb-over frog is funnier. I don't know. It's just more unusual.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have a hard time with their practical effects with this comb-over frog thing. I think they should go with hypnotist vampires. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
I'm issuing that premise to them.
With swirl eyes.
I'm throwing it open. Anybody who wants to make a movie about him and his Draculas is good as gold to me. Hypno-Draculas.
Although they don't necessarily need your permission.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Well, I thought of it, for one thing.
Did you?
I thought of
it. Think
that.
Think real hard to the beginning of the show.
I thought of it.
It wasn't
a movie idea.
Who said Hypnotist Draculous?
You said Hypnotist Draculous, but I thought of it as a movie idea. I mean, let's say Brian Stack said something about pancakes. And then I said, I got a movie idea. It's about the world's tallest stack of pancakes. Who's thought of the movie? This guy.
Yeah.
This guy.
You're right.
Who's got two thumbs and just came up with a $1 million idea? This guy.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, go. This is Mike, a.k.a. Mikeosaurus from Chicagoland. I was watching television yesterday and hoping that Jordan can address this as it involves him. I was watching television and saw a commercial for Chase Bank, with whom I trust my finances. And in the very beginning of the commercial, a man is purchasing his coffee by not sliding but scanning his Chase debit card. And he's at a coffee shop, and the barista who is helping him make this purchase looks either perplexed or slightly irritated. And I noticed that this mop-headed barista seems to either resemble or be identical to one Jordan Morris. I was wondering if it is in fact Jordan, because I didn't see that addressed on the boards at all, and if it is Jordan, if he could kind of discuss a little bit of how that went down, you know, what kind of method he used to really get in character as the irritated barista, and some tips on how one could look just as kind of irritated and perplexed as he did.
I played this call for this reason.
Okay.
I want people out there to know that across America, there are young people with curly hair. These people are not Jordan Morris.
Mm-hmm. They're usually not. Typically, it's not me.
Yeah. More often than not, they're not you.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't you, right?
No, I don't have a commercial agent. Trying out for commercials is not something that I do. I have been in one commercial, but it was a commercial only run in Southern California. It was for the local weather. It was for NBC4's Fritz Coleman. I played a surfer dude asking him where the best waves were. I got $100. that's if you searched for that on YouTube, that's up there. But yeah, no, it was not me. But yeah, I do get the impression. I just feel like I see a lot of commercials where like dudes who kind of look like me are being annoyed or perplexed or overly enthusiastic about a product. So yeah, maybe this is a little chunk of change I could be cashing in on.
But we should clarify that you were in a Sandra Bullock movie.
Yeah,
People keep emailing me, is Jordan in a Sandra Bullock movie?
Which one? It's not the one that is coming out soon. This is called All About Steve. And I have like 5 lines in it, maybe, wow. If they didn't cut them. They're very easily to cut. I don't provide any exposition or anything like that. Yeah. So,
cool. He's Jordan's in the preview.
Yeah, you kind of see me in the top right corner.
Plays in the film cool. with Charlene Yee, correct?
Sure.
Charlene Yee rocketing to stardom at this very moment.
Yes. And despite also being in the movie, for some reason, I am not.
Yeah,
don't know
which is weird.
How that works out.
You would think that the catalyst would be Sandra Bullock, right?
I would guess so.
Now, when you made this movie, the co-star of the movie, Bradley Cooper, was not rocketing to stardom, which is why the movie hadn't come out over the past 18 months or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I think now it is coming out on September. It's sometime in early September.
Okay. What's it called? Failure to Launch 2.
Yeah. It's called Matthew McConaughey, the movie. And he's not in it, and it's weird, and I think that's going to hurt.
A friend of mine was in that movie, Surfer Dude.
Oh, yeah? I had to watch that for work.
I haven't seen it yet. I'd like to see it. I guess it went straight to DVD,
It
right?
did, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad.
I want to see it. What is your friend doing it? Maybe I would...
He plays one of his surfer buddies. I think he said he has a mustache, and his name's Todd Stashwick.
Okay.
And he told me when he got cast.
His character's name or his real
life
name?
That's his real name.
And they just assumed that he would have a mustache.
Very talented actor, another Chicago guy. He's been in a... He played Minnie Driver's brother on The Riches, that show, The Riches. I don't know if you saw that.
Okay, sure.
He's been in a lot of things, but anyway.
I saw that. That was recommended to me on Netflix On Demand somehow. Mm. I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel of the Netflix On Demand. I've really seen what they got to offer.
Yeah,
and it's just
that.
Starting to offer me just horrible, horrible things. And it offered me that, and I clicked on it because I remember Jordan saying he had to go see it. And a bad sign for a movie on Netflix is all the reviews that pop up as the most useful reviews are just about how much nudity there is in it.
Yeah, it's basically, it looks like it was just basically like, I mean, and Matthew McConaughey was like a driving force behind this. He, you know, produced and co-wrote and kind of really ushered this thing through, from what I understand. And I mean, you can see why. It's basically just, little kind of dialogue bridges between party scenes where you see Matthew McConaughey making out with all sorts of exotic, beautiful women of various races.
Okay.
And then some kind of like thing. And then Willie Nelson's there and he has a goat. And,
oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah.
People don't give enough credit to McConaughey. People give a lot of credit to McConaughey, sure, for his acting chops. Absolutely. For his good looks.
His winning smile.
You don't hear enough about his writing skill.
Right.
And I think this guy is an Updike for our generation. Yes. Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. John Updike, if John Updike just wrote a bunch of excuses for him to make out with a Cuban woman.
Yeah, this is Jason calling in from Colombia with a momentous occasion. I just saw a woman get shat upon by a bird. I'm looking out my office window. She's far enough away to where I don't actually realize that it is a woman being shat upon by a bird until she says, ew, and then walks over into the grass and proceeds to wipe her head into the grass.
She wiped her head on the grass.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's the best part probably, right?
Yeah, that's really good.
She put her head on the grass.
Really good.
'Cause it's hard to get your head down there.
Yep. Next.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. It's Jeff from Long Island City. I'm calling for a momentous occasion. Just walking down the street and had a kid ride up past me on a Razor scooter wearing rollerblades, shouting to the kid sort of running behind him saying, don't ever fucking tell me I can't do anything. And he tried to do a little bunny hop on the Razor scooter and fell down and started crying.
He was wearing rollerblades riding a Razor scooter.
All right.
That's an abundance of wheels.
You know what? I'm giving him honorary membership in the Boner Society.
Yeah.
Because he is fulfilling his optimum potential by riding. Don't ever tell me I can't do anything. Ever. That's what he says. Don't ever tell me I can't do anything. This kid can do anything if he puts his mind to it.
He can ride two of the gayest modes of transportation at once.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse. I'm the guy who called in last week to say that I wasn't walking with my peers at the graduation for the theater arts major. I just found out that one of my classmates, a Jay Bruckman, was Jordan's girlfriend in high school, and that is my fucking momentous occasion.
You know what? That number one, that is not a momentous occasion because Jordan is a well-known international playboy.
Oh, sure. I fucked my way across that whole high school. I can't be expected to remember.
Jordan went to a big public high school in Southern California. He fucked most of the women and many of the men.
Sure.
And this guy thinks he's really special because...
Oh, and one of the mascot outfits. To be fair, I thought someone was in it.
You did. And it was pretty good, too, from what I remember you describing it to me. Surprisingly
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
It was top 25%, right? I think that's the word you said.
The lack of response didn't trouble you? Or
I, you know, I...
The motionless...
I was on mushrooms. I was on mushrooms.
Jordan, Jesse, I'm calling with a momentous occasion. I am sitting in a rental car in Minneapolis, and I've had this car about an hour, but I've only just opened the glove compartment, which was not cleaned out from the previous occupant. It contains some receipts from hardware stores, a Long John Silver's in Fort Worth, Texas, someplace in Iowa called the Come and Go, K-U-M, and Go. It also contains a pair of lacy, size large, lavender women's underpants.
Again, When we say momentous occasions, we want things that are unusual to see. Everybody knows Jordan travels. Jordan travels all over the world for his job at Fuel TV. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you're in the Midwest. I don't think it's of course, where would you go? You go to Long John Silver's. You go to the drive-thru whorehouse.
No, well, this is... Sorry to correct you, Jesse.
Okay.
You find a lady.
Right. At the whorehouse. The drive-thru whorehouse.
Just, you know, wherever at the hot lady bar.
To come and go.
You take her to Long John Silver's.
Right.
And, you know,
you
you're...
stop by the whorehouse and fuck her.
You're barely out of the drive-thru and the panties come off.
Right. And then
it's
you
the
got to figure out...
popcorn shrimp is a powerful aphrodisiac.
It is, yeah.
You're a man who knows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
if you're looking to seal the deal.
Popcorn shrimp. Keep that in mind, youngsters.
Hello, this is Michael calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with a momentous occasion. I'm at the Three Rivers Arts Festival here, and I just met Mr. McFeely, the speedy delivery guy from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And it was amazing. We took Polaroids. He signed a picture and gave me a card. So, yeah, felt pretty momentous to me.
That is momentous.
That really is sincerely
momentous. Here I am talking shit about these other people who call in with these perfectly normal things. And this man did something really magical. He met Mr. McFeely.
But Jordan had an encounter with Mr. McFeely as well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yep.
While you were kind of going through all the... people at your high school?
Didn't
he slip in
there?
Well, you know, what he did was he came to give an inspirational talk. He came to, like, you know, just talk to the kids about, you know, TV
There was something about Polaroids of Mr. McFeely that sounded familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I remember it was...
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, when the kind of the Q&A part of the presentation mm-hmm. rolled around, I just raised my hand and I gave an unusually... I asked an unusually insightful question for a 13-year-old.
Also unusually sensual.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of licked my lips when I did it. I wasn't really expecting anything to happen from it, but I kind of, like, thought it might...
You
like
gave
it
one of those kind of LL Cool J kind of deals.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, you know, just one thing led to another, and, you know, he was shaking hands afterwards, and I just, you know, I let him know that I didn't have a fifth period that day, and...
Jordan, you're sort of an M.M. Cool J, or Mr. McFeely...
Sure.
Loves Cool Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have that.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. It's Nick from Mooresville, North Carolina, and I got a story for you guys. Not too long ago, I was with my friends. We were over at my buddy's house, and we were all drinking 40s, and I came up with an idea that I was going to fill up one of the 40 bottles with urine and sneak it into the fridge and hope somebody drank it. So
it's a prank.
I proceeded to hammer down a couple of good old High Lifes.
Build up some pee.
Got myself a little bit wasted, urinated enough to fill one of the 40s, put it in the fridge, and as it turns out, the joke worked. But the joke ended up being on me. I should have maybe not drank as much, filled up with water, a little bit of water. I don't know. Okay.
He's really taking the wrong lessons from this.
Yeah.
The lesson here...
When you pee in a bottle, you label it somehow. Just give yourself a little
right prank bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a Sharpie.
And then in parentheses, not a prank bottle. So then the person reading it goes, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
You got to bring him back around.
Yeah.
It's sort of that kind of thing. I was going to suggest that maybe he shouldn't. Maybe it was karma biting him on the rear because he was trying to get someone else to drink it. But now that you have explained the system involving
a simple mistake.
Parentheses, not a prank bottle.
Right.
Right.
Let
so that
wonder.
Makes a lot more sense to me.
Good.
Fair enough. Okay, well, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
La, 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 la.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Brian Stack, Captain Mystery.
That's better.
Yeah,
I liked it. He did the eyebrow thing, which you can't hear, admittedly. he did a great job,
mm-hmm.
I thought, Brian. Congratulations on doing such a great job.
Thank you, sir.
He sold it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to get used to having a nickname. It's new to me.
It's great, but you're doing a great job, Brian. Yeah, don't worry. Sir. We just think you're the bee's knees, Brian. You'll settle into it in no time. Pretty soon you'll be getting hate mail from people that listen to you on the radio in New York. At least that's my experience.
All right, I look forward to that. At least you know you're having an impact.
High five contest. I want to mention the high five contest again. We talked to a lot of people at Max FunCon about the high five contest. High 509 is the thing to you. What you do is you upload your pictures of your high fives to Flickr, tag them High 509. There's bonus points for celebrities, past Jordan Jesse Go and Sound of Young America guests, pets and animals, babies, in front of a monument. Those are your primary areas of bonus points. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so. I think that sounds.
You can't get more than 1 point for each high five combo. In other words, you can't just go around with high fiving your buddy in different places and get a point for every new place. You can only get 1 point for high fiving certain other people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it has to be a different combination every time. Upload them to Flickr, tag them High509, and at some point we'll decide when the contest ends, and what the prizes are.
I think I would also like to mention, I think we've mentioned this on our various, internet outlets, so the Twitters and the message boards, but if for some reason people don't keep up with us that way, a guy made a really, really awesome Flash browser video game based on Jordan Jesse Go. It's really fun. It has a lot of cool inside jokes that I don't even get.
We've forgotten most of what has transpired on this program.
Yeah, and he wrote a very funny script, and Jesse and I did the voiceovers for it. Andy Daly plays a part. John Hodgman plays himself in it, and it's just really fun, and it's just one of the cooler fan things that somebody's made.
Almost certainly the coolest. It's fantastic.
Very cool.
It's a really fun game, and it's just amazing. The guy's name is Dan Henrick. Mm-hmm. So thank you to Dan. I actually met Dan at Max FunCon this past weekend. It's such a wonderful thing. If you go to MaximumFun.org and click on Jordan Jesse Go, they're in those posts. I haven't added it to the sidebar or anything yet because I honestly don't know how to change the layout on my website. But it's in the top few posts on the Jordan Jesse Go page of MaximumFun.org. You click on Jordan Jesse Game. It is so much fun, and Andy Daly.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best. John Hodgman as Judge John Hodgman settling disputes via telephone in the context of a fictional video game world. How can you beat that? Aliens kidnapping my dog Coco.
Don't give it all away.
Okay, that's the premise of the game. Aliens kidnapping my dog Coco. That happens in the first cutscene.
Right.
You don't even have to beat any levels to find out that happens. So it's a lot of fun and a really awesome thing. Share it with your friends and whatnot. It'll probably convince them to listen to Jordan Jesse Go. No, it won't.
It'll
at
be
all.
Confusing and odd.
It'll
but...
just be very strange to them. But maybe if they kind of like that kind of Super Mario type games, you can get in a hot tub with Ashcon if you want to, and he'll sing to you. It's a lot of fun, very fun game to play. Thank you for mentioning that, Jordan.
I forgot we hadn't mentioned that on the show. Yes,
And I'm going to be honest with you. If you hadn't heard about that, why aren't you on the forums and why aren't you subscribed to the Maximum Fun blog? I mean, that's another thing you really need to get on top of.
Sure, just a little reminder that you're going to miss great things like the Jordan Jesse Go video game.
We're running an ecosystem here, Jordan. Mm-hmm. It's not just this. And I also wanted to, on the subject of meeting Dan Henrick, we had Max FunCon last weekend. Last week's Jordan Jesse Go was the one that we recorded live at Max FunCon. I think... that, you know, I had no idea what this was going to be like. I had never put on something like this before. We put on this event up in Lake Arrowhead with a couple hundred listeners and enthusiasts and a lot of performers and comedy shows and creativity workshops and stuff like that. I'm really the people that were there were so kind, happy, and enthusiastic I really felt like I didn't have to do anything. Like I felt like I could fuck everything up and it would be fine because everybody there was so happy and so excited to meet each other and be friends and give each other hugs and high fives. And I think maybe 10 people at this point have literally told me that it changed their lives.
Wow.
Or that it was a highlight of their lives. And that is like amazing. And we're definitely doing it again next year. But the main thing I want to do is just thank all the people who came because Everyone was so wonderful. And it just everyone came into it with just the most wonderful tone and attitude about having a great time up there. And it was just really amazing. Just really. Maybe next year, Brian. Maybe next year. But yeah, so I just want to thank all those people. And yeah. Jordan, of course, got super wasted, so he wants to thank all the people who gave him liquor.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Yes.
I'm a boob.
I saw a Twitter from somebody saying, Jordan is asleep on the floor of my condo lay or something like that.
Anyway.
Jordan had a great time.
Yeah.
He had a great time. Just had fun. Everybody was having a great time. You know what I mean? Everybody was having a great fucking time. That's why it's called Max FunCon.
That's what you hope for.
206-984-4FUN is the number to call if you have a momentous occasion, you want to piece my life back together, you want to help Jordan with his energy drink addiction, anything, you got a question for Juanita, for Judge John Hodgman, 206-984-4FUN, the number to call. You can email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. If you want to sponsor the show, prices starting as low as $100 for a personal announcement on Jordan Jesse Go. You can email me at jesse@maximumfun.org. And our theme music is Love You by The Free Design, available on Kites Are Fun, the best of The Free Design, from our friends at Light in the Attic Records. And I think that's about it, right, Jordan?
Yep.
Great show. Thank you so much, Brian, for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I think you should probably watch Brian's writing on a little show called The Tonight Show, which you might have heard of. Or you might catch Brian from time to time doing Ask Cat at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater here in L.A. We'll see you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.